This is St. Louis Public Radio. Since 2000, police departments in the state of Missouri have been required by law to report information about their traffic stops, including the race of the person pulled over. Every year, the data have shown that minorities are stopped and searched more often than they should be based on population size. Those disparities exist in spite of the state requiring police departments to come up with policies that combat the use of race in traffic stops. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman explores why it's so hard to get rid of bias in policing.
Aside from a few speeding tickets, Rich Anderson has never broken the law. But that doesn't stop him from being targeted by the police when he's driving, like the time a Missouri State Highway Patrol officer pulled him over to give him a warning about his license plate.
If you're on a highway, there's a lot of speeding, there's a lot of improper lane change and things like that. It just seems like, you know, that was, you know, just targeted. You know, because he was a couple lanes over and he immediately got behind me and he was focused in on my license plate.
Anderson is a retired engineer who now teaches at a local college, and he trains middle and long distance runners in his spare time. But he's well aware that all officers see when they make those kind of traffic stops is that he's a black man.
I'm not so sure that the police officer actually, you know, had any malice. I mean, I think it's a little more telling that, you know, quite often, I think they thought they were doing the right thing.
What Anderson's explaining is known as implicit bias, that is, deeply ingrained assumptions people aren't even aware they make about others. It's not that race is the factor when police decide who to stop, says Khatib Wahid. Officers may not even realize it's in the back of their minds.
If you see several black youth with pants sagging down congregated at a bus stop, they'll probably stop. Conversely, if you see a group of white kids who have sagging pants standing at a bus stop, will the police stop?
Wahid has facilitated dozens of workshops on combating implicit bias, including a recent one for the commanders of the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department. He says that when anyone, including the police, has time to stop and think, they generally recognize the assumptions they are making. But so much of police work happens in a split second. So, Wahid says, officers have to learn to recognize those assumptions from the beginning of their careers, and that lesson has to be emphasized by their commanders.
Based on the amount of attention you give to a topic, you're telling people what's important and what's not.
But in Missouri, the topic doesn't get that much attention. Most police officers in the St. Louis area have to undergo 600 hours of training to join a department. But Carl Wolf, the former police chief in Hazelwood, says not enough of those hours are spent teaching cadets how to interact with the communities they will serve.
We learn how to shoot. We learn how to tase. We learn how to fight. We learn how to use nightsticks. You know, very seldom do we have to use that part of our training, but that's what is what a lot of the training is focused on.
And that's a problem, Wolf says, because a majority of police work is about dealing with people. And people skills never become a priority either, says Karen Aresti with the Anti-Defamation League. She says the required 3 hours of training around racial profiling every 3 years aren't enough, and that training has to be adapted for officers who have been on the force for a few years.
I think they get a lot more cynical, and I think they are influenced by what they have seen, which, again, if you go back to the race issue, is influenced by the connection between race and poverty and crime.
The ADL has drafted legislation that would boost the amount of required training to 8 hours annually. Aresti says her group would also like to mandate police-community partnerships. She says requiring those collaborations would give police leadership more authority to address bias in their departments.
I would hope that this conversation would actually empower command staff to have more capacity to say, look, if you really can't do this job without a high level of bias that is negatively impacting the community, then you can't do the job.
That, Aresti says, would be one of the best ways to really change the way the police and the community interact. I'm Rachel Lippman, St. Louis Public Radio.